Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is quality, not quantity. Thank you for joining us. Please join me in the responsive call to worship found in your bulletins. We come from all places and all peoples to gather here today.
We are blessed with mountains and valleys, rivers and oceans, fertile earth, wonderful woods, and promising cities.
Here, a dream was born.
A dream of freedom from all oppression. A dream of hope for our children. A dream of people as a nation under God.
We have said to nations and peoples,
send us the voices. Send us the fearful. Send us the oppressed.
May we pray and act so that the dream continues for all. Let us pray. Our loving God, thank you for bringing each of us safely to this place. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessing. This morning, God, we pray that your guiding hand may touch the people around the globe with whom we share a common humanity and desire for a better, more peaceful world. As we are gathered here today in friendship and community, taking a moment out of our busy lives to learn, share, and reflect, we are reminded of how blessed we all are. In the current world around us, there are many who suffer and face grave challenges. We stand in solidarity with them in compassion and by practicing loving kindness to ourselves and all those around us. God, for those of us on the long road to recovery from whatever ails us, let us never forget that we can get back to the light, because even broken people can get better. Allow us to control the controllables in our lives, and also to understand that sometimes the answer to what troubles us is standing right beside us in the form of our friends, family, community, and church. We recognize that our ability to gather in political and religious freedom on a morning like this is a precious benefit that we enjoy as a result of the hard sacrifices of so many. On this holiday weekend, we give thanks for our freedom and those who protect our freedom. And while we are thankful for our many blessings, we call out to you, God, on behalf of those who suffer. As we continue through this week, we pray that we may walk in companionship with you along the way. And we pray that you continue to give us the courage to sing, to live, and to dance down our own path. This we pray, as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Okay, so for our announcements today, first, thank you for everybody joining us live and on live stream. For those of you here in person, if you could sign the friendship register at the end of the aisle, we would appreciate it. And also, please read through the announcements in your bulletins. I'd like to thank Les Miller for once again stepping up to do our sermon. I'd also like to note, if you're in the Yule family and thought you could just come and relax, you were mistaken, because we have Trevor as our live stream director upstairs. Leslie's going to do a solo. Virginia Lehman, Leslie's mom, is on the organ in the back. She's doing something else, probably setting up the refreshments. And then we have the Yule children as well, somewhere in the group. So careful, they'll put you to work too. I'd also like to say we had another successful mission trip in South Dakota. A lot of our members that went came back yesterday. The others are going to come back today. I'm not going to say more about it because on July 24th, Laura is going to talk about it in her sermon. So please come for that. And again, please look through the bulletins. There's more announcements about rooms with a view, also our backpack supply drive for Horizons. So please take a look at that. Thank you, Leslie. As we pause for a moment of prayer, please keep the following church members in your hearts and in your thoughts. Tammy Chapman's mother, for healing following her recent back surgery. Chrissy Gould and her family, following her mother Tracy Gould's death from a serious illness. Steve Weitzer, for his continuing treatment with pancreatic cancer. Olivia Dunn, still in St. Vincent's following a very bad fall and head injury, but heading to Maplewood next week for rehab. Neil Rice for strength and healing following his long hospital stay, but he's now recovering. Terry Quinn's sister following her surgery and praying for healing. All those in our congregation undergoing chemotherapy. And finally, and on an encouraging note, we pray for our own Paul Whitmore, who got out of his shoulder sling 2 days ago, and he has started physical therapy and is on the healing path. So good for Paul. So with these prayers and the prayers in our own hearts, let's take a moment of quiet reflection to pray. Loving God, thank you for bringing us together in this beautiful and peaceful sanctuary. We know, God, that you have created us in your image. Let us remember that we are embodiments of your love, and that this love, when we feel it and accept it, can give us the power to exert a positive influence on ourselves, our loved ones, and the world in which we live. Let us share your love. Help us now, God. Help us feel the path of every day and be conscious and deliberate about the road we are taking. Remind us that we are spiritual beings. Don't let us lose hope by not seeing beyond today. We pray for strength and guidance for each day as it comes, for each day's duties, for each day's problems. May we be challenged to give our best always, and may we be assured of your presence with us. Give us the strength to accept our present circumstances as they are, ourselves as we are, and the people about us as they are. And remind us that sometimes we have to draw on something outside of us to deal with the forces inside of us. And God, our deepest hope, our most tender prayer, is that we learn to listen. May we listen to one another in openness and mercy. May we listen to plants and animals in wonder and respect. May we listen to our own hearts in love and forgiveness. May we listen to God in quietness and awe. And in this listening, which is boundless in its beauty, may we find the wisdom to cooperate with a healing spirit, a divine spirit who beckons us into peace and community and creativity. We do not ask for a perfect world, but we do ask for a better world. May you help us ensure that any room we walk into, that we make it better. And may you inspire us to take our greatest pain or challenge and make it our life's message. All of this we pray in your name. Amen. Maury Schwartz was a college professor who, as he was dying, gave one of his students a fantastic lesson on life. The student was Mitch Albom, and the lessons were captured in the book Tuesdays with Maury. One of my favorite passages from the book is Maury's description of our need for other people. He said, "In the beginning of life, when we are infants, we need others to survive. And at the end of life, you need others to survive. But here's the secret. In between, we need others as well." In that spirit, our morning offering will now be received.
Would you join me in the unison prayer of dedication, please? Found in your bulletin. Our Lord, O God, receive these gifts as a reflection of our love and dedication. May you magnify them with your grace, that they may serve your purpose more fully, bringing abundant life to all. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, all. It is a lovely day in the neighborhood. Now, I've been told to use my grown-up voice because I have a tendency to be a little quiet. And I would plead with you, if I don't talk loud enough, don't throw anything. Our scripture this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, in which he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So the only thing I can really say at this point is happy birthday, USA, tomorrow. You know, by my count, we're 246 years old. We are living, in the words of our national anthem, in the home of the brave, the land of the free. And it's this whole idea of freedom and being free that I want to talk about today. And I know it's a very broad subject, and you can spend days, if not years, studying it. But a couple of weeks ago, Susan Kunkel, down in the carousel, asked me what my topic was for this morning, and I told her that it was really a question: is freedom free? And Susan gave me an instantaneous no. Ask a question, get an answer, and leave it at that. For a few minutes, I thought I had the shortest sermon in South Fork Congregational Church history. But I can't pass up an opportunity to talk. I do happen to agree with Susan. I don't think freedom is free, particularly in today's hectic environment. I think freedom has always come with a high price to pay, and I don't think it's going to change in the near term. While the quest for freedom began in America long before we signed the Declaration of Independence in July 4th, 1776, the quest really didn't find its voice until the founders of this country decided to take action. And it was bold action. I mean, here's this little country, the United States of America, 13 little colonies, no standing army, no taxation except for the taxation that we had to pay England. And that's the foundation of our revolt. The Declaration of Independence, which we talk about today, is one of rights, of independence, and of freedom. It says that they being us, are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence brings independence and freedom and rights all into one nifty little package. It says that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally disconnected And that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, et cetera, et cetera. Think about freedom. Think about putting your freedom in jeopardy. Think about the 56 guys who signed the Declaration of Independence. When they signed it, they realized that they had a price on their heads. They didn't choose to revolt. They merely wanted to be treated the same as their fellows in England were. And their biggest gripe was that they fought against taxation without representation. I think if Great Britain had gone along with that idea, things might have changed. But they assumed, I think, that this freedom was not just political freedom, but it was personal freedom. And more than that, they knew that the promises of freedom far outweighed the penalty for treason. And the penalty for treason in that day was hanging. War then and war today is perhaps the most obvious price that we pay for freedom and liberty and independence. And over the course of our history, we have lost more than 1 million brave young men and women in our fight for freedom. We pay the price for freedom over and over, not only on our shores, but on foreign shores as well. We fought for the freedom of our citizens, but also for the citizenry of other nations. And as a nation, our young people, in too many wars, have sacrificed their lives in the battle for our freedom and the freedom of others. And we, the beneficiaries of this struggle, are deeply beholden to them. And that's why we celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day. And there's an odd little thing. I think we sometimes forget it isn't the 4th of July necessarily, it's Independence Day. We sort of put these things backwards. Now, just 11 months before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, in an address that is now known as the Four Freedoms Speech, actually it was the 1941 State of the Union speech, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt proposed four fundamental freedoms that people everywhere in the world, not just the United States, but everywhere in the world ought to enjoy. There are freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. We all remember we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Freedom of speech and freedom of worship, of course, were found in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Freedom of want and freedom of worship really reflected Roosevelt's attitude on the world condition at that time. This was 1941. We hadn't gone to war, but we'd just come through one of the great depressions on Earth. In that speech, Roosevelt did something that we didn't really talk about. He made a break with the long-held tradition in the United States of non-intervention. He outlined the U.S. role in helping allies already engaged in warfare, and the war in Europe was going hot and heavy at the time. And I think this concern is certainly appropriate today as we think about the war in the Ukraine. President Roosevelt said, "This nation has placed its destiny in the hands of and hearts and heads of people of its millions of free men and women, and its faith in freedom under the guidance of God. Freedom means the supremacy of human rights everywhere. Our support goes to those who struggle to gain these rights or just to keep them. Our strength is in our unity of purpose, and to that high concept there can be no end save victory." He also said, "In the truest sense, freedom cannot be bestowed. It must be achieved. It must be earned." and another well-known U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln, said that those who deny freedom deserve it not for themselves. Now, this was back, 1860-something, and the words of Abraham Lincoln and the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt were appropriate then, and they're appropriate today, and that's the magic of these guys. And the question is, are we still the home of the brave and the land of the free that Francis Key wrote about all those years ago? Does the Star-Spangled Banner still wave over our country? Or is it a little bit less meaningful than it was then? There are a couple of things that have helped us lose lose, I guess is the best word, our freedom today. We have the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and its multiple strains. The entirety of the January 6th event and its toxic aftermath. We have spiraling inflation. We have the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan. We have the ongoing war in the Ukraine and the global shortages that war is causing. We have climate change and fires in the West. And the list goes on and on. I don't have to tell anybody here what that list consists of. But really, it points out that freedom is not a static thing. It's constantly changing. It's constantly being challenged. And sometimes I wonder if we really challenge our freedom enough. When James Madison and his friends fashioned their comments on freedom of speech in the First Amendment, they certainly could not have anticipated today's social media platforms. Twitter and freedom and Facebook and others have come under intense scrutiny, particularly when it comes to the limits and the consequences of free speech. Social media's critic charge, and this is their words, not mine, that the internet freedom is increasingly imperiled by the tools and tactics of, I love this one, digital authoritarianism. There's also something relatively new that we call cancel culture. That's the way that some of us choose to express our disdain and withdraw our approval and support from people that we just don't agree with, either personally or privately or professionally. It seems that you have to wait for a long time for an accomplishment of yours to get credit. But social media criticizes everything almost immediately. Freedom is a multi-directional kind of concept. There's a freedom to do something, and there's a freedom that prevents something from happening. And there are necessary limits and restrictions on our freedom. Some of them, particularly those that have a broad common denominator, are imposed by our laws. And that means that freedom is not a license to do whatever you please. It's hard to imagine having too much freedom, but in the world of today's global politics, there are folks that abuse their freedom. Think of self-will run riot. Say that again. Self-will run riot. That's when freedom becomes infallibility. Democratic systems wither, and autocracy tries to take its place. John Locke, I don't remember him personally, but he was an English philosopher and physician, said, "What law is for is not to abolish or restrain freedom, but to preserve and enlarge it. For in all states of created beings who are capable of laws, where there is no law, there is no freedom." Freedom, however elastic you may think it being, also needs a structure. And a gentleman by the name of Stefan Zweig said, "Freedom is not possible without authority. Otherwise, it would turn into chaos. An authority is not possible without freedom. Otherwise, it would turn into tyranny." words for today. As our scripture said in Galatians, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If we could only do that. In Ephesians, Paul says, slaves, obey your masters with respect and fear, and with the sincerity of the heart, just as you would obey Christ. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of us, whatever good they do, whether they be free or slaves. Laws are in many ways boundaries. They may or may not be natural boundaries. They're not just boundaries established by the courts, but by the people. By the people, the freedoms and boundaries of our own actions. Like the boundaries that parents set with their children. Children seem to constantly find new and exciting and different ways of stretching the rubber band, ways of finding, inventive ways of testing the limits of acceptable behavior. Boundaries are important for young kids to learn them from parents because they're the first stepping stone in how an individual gradually learns to abide by the vast set of written and unwritten rules that make up modern society. Ronald Reagan said that the price of freedom may be high, but never as costly as the loss of freedom. You know, freedom is something that you don't really think about a lot until you lose it. Freedom is a state of mind and not a thing. I don't think it's a standalone thing. It is contingent on factors that are frankly far beyond my vision. But I know that the cost of freedom is worth any price because there's just no substitute for it. It comes in small, medium, and large sizes. You can't order it on Amazon. Neither cash nor credit cards apply. It's just an empty basket waiting to be filled. Should you lose it or surrender it in the case of the criminal justice system or in addiction recovery programs, you can earn some of it or all of it back. And when you earn or recover your freedom, you earn and recover the self-esteem that you may have forfeited in surrendering your freedom in the first place. And perhaps you'll gain a generous helping of dignity and love should you be successful. To be free is to be responsible. President Roosevelt noted that when you talk about freedom, if freedom is worth anything, then you must also talk about responsibility. If a man is to be free and is to keep his freedom, then he must accept the freedom to go with it. Freedom is a responsibility, and we can't shirk our responsibility and still be free. I must admit that too often I take my precious gifts of freedom for granted. I assume I'm free to come and go, free to say whatever I please, whenever and wherever I choose to say it. I know that I'm too dependent on the influence of other people, on external forces, to have them define my freedoms and set my boundaries and warn me when and how I may be trespassing, and warn me when I've stepped over that imaginary red line. I know that I have to give other people the freedom to say things that I don't necessarily agree with. Sometimes they say things that I'm just dead set against, but I have to give them the freedom and the right to say it. The bottom line is that I may just have to take some time out to think about my freedom. Think about it seriously. Think about what freedoms I have, what freedoms I don't have, what freedoms I want, and how I can set about getting them. And even more than that, how I can use my freedom as a force of good for the benefit of everybody that I meet. And in all humility, I don't know whether I can do that. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian neurologist, psychiatrist, philosopher, writer, and Holocaust survivor. He said something that really stuck home with me. He said, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one attitude in any set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." Back in the 1980s, N.W. Ayer, which was a very prominent New York ad agency, came up with a slogan for the U.S. Army recruiting program. And this, I think, is just, to me, having been in advertising for a little while, I just think is magic, because how can an ad agency come up with a slogan for an Army recruiting program and have it carry over into our everyday life? And those words were, "Be all you can be." What greater challenge is that? Five simple but very profound words. Be all you can be. Perhaps we should take our direction from Luke 4, verse 18, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." So my message is, happy birthday, USA. And as somebody said so wisely in 1980, be all you can be. Amen. thank you for being here. And as we go away this morning, tomorrow to celebrate our happy birthday, please be all you can be. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever as you can. God bless.